Welcome, everyone. Thanks for being with me this next hour. You are listening to A Course in Miracles with C.A. Brooks, asking the question, why wait for heaven? On 1-2 Radio, changing the way we experience life and spirituality. Today is July 8th, 2016, and we are at our new time, 10 a.m. Pacific, 1 Eastern on Friday. So thanks for finding us today. And if you're listening to this as an encore or if you're listening on demand, our time has changed. And so for the time being, and I don't know if it's permanent or not, but we are at 10 a.m. on Fridays instead of our usual slot of 8, which we've had for a couple of years. So thanks for being here today. And on today's show, I'm happy to welcome back writer, web designer, and ACIM teacher Bruce Rawls. And today we are going to look at a couple of lessons from the ACIM workbook, lesson 190, which is scheduled for tomorrow, July 9th, I choose the joy of God instead of pain, and lesson 195, which comes up on July 14th, which is love is the way I walk in gratitude. Now, when I'm giving those dates, many of you know that the reason I assign dates to them is because a lot of people will start doing the workbook lessons on January 1st every year. Millions of people across the world do that. And so if you look at it, there's 365 lessons, there's 365 days. And so we can easily figure out, you know, approximately if you take one lesson a day, that's where you're going to be. But it doesn't really matter. These lessons are very holistic. These lessons, you know, I think you could take any one of them at any given time, and it's exactly the lesson that you need. And in fact, that's how I was feeling about these lessons this week, because as I was looking forward, you know, there's just so much going on, and it just feels so sometimes just obsessive or just oppressive and, you know, just sad. I can hardly turn on the TV and watch for a few minutes without getting sad. And so when I saw these lessons, I choose the joy of God instead of pain, and love is the way I walk in gratitude, I thought, okay, I really need to focus on these two lessons. These would be good. And so since they're coming up this week, I thought it would be great for the show too. So while you're listening, you know, you can always join us and participate in another way, just instead of just listening, you can actually join us in Facebook because we have a private group. So if you're new today and you've never been there before, well, welcome. I'm so glad you found us. But if you go to our website, which is 12radio.com, you're going to see on the left side of the page a number of links that, by the way, would be very helpful to you because there's a schedule. It's going to tell you about our hosts. It's going to tell you about our shows. Also, there's On Demand. That's where you're going to find 6 months worth of shows, all the shows on 1-2 Radio, and specifically this show. But you're also going to see a chat button. And if you click that chat button, it's going to automatically redirect you to Facebook, where you can ask to join our group. And so our producer today is Scott Weaver. He will be there to allow you into the room. So if that's something you'd like to do and you'd like to go over there and participate with us, please do it. So let's get on with the show. And I do want to welcome Bruce, my good friend, and you know, just involved in so many different things. Before we came on the air today, we were talking about some of the work that he's doing with websites with, you know, the course. And that is always exciting. And so in the future, we're going to be posting some of those links because he's updating some of those, the Foundation for Inner Peace. I think that's what it's called, the sister site to the Foundation for A Course in Miracles. And so he's updating all those websites and he was sharing some of the links with me that are so cool because you can literally just hit a link and you can find the lesson of the day, and there's going to be all kinds of great stuff on that website. So he can share that with us in the weeks and months to come. But welcome, Bruce. Thanks for being here today.
Thank you, CA. It's always a joy to be on your show and sharing with all your listeners.
So, yeah. And I was just thinking how much fun it must be for you to be a web designer, but working on something like, you know, the core, you know, course sites.
Oh, it's great fun. It's great fun.
Yeah, that must be wonderful, huh?
It is a lot of fun. It's a labor of love, and you know, the avocation, vocation overlap is great. So, yeah. Yep. Very, very much fun.
Well, and did I get that right? Is it the Foundation for Inner Peace?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Uh-huh.
All right. Yeah, the publishers of the course.
Exactly. The two sister organizations that essentially Ken and Judy, have spearheaded for years. And now with Ken's passing, all the folks left in Temecula who are doing a great job there and carrying on that wonderful work. And then Judy Sketch Whitson, who is the head of Foundation for Inner Peace and the original publisher of A Course in Miracles. And they're continuing to do fabulous work and enjoying a new resurgence of inspiration. And I'm grateful to be part of the technical end of that and have a lot of fun with it. So anyway, yeah, that forthcoming. It's a work in progress right now, so there's nothing really ready for the grand
for prime time
for prime time just yet, but it's come a long way and we're getting closer, so it's a lot of fun. So
well, and how soon do you think that's going to be ready? I'm not pushing you. I just think people will probably go, hey, when
this summer sometime. I'm pretty certain we'll be able to pull that off,
okay. So, well,
I think knock on wood, this summer. We were actually aiming for a few weeks ago, which was the 40th anniversary of the publishing of A Course in Miracles, but all the pieces didn't come together as needed just yet, but it's getting close. It's getting close. So.
Well, didn't anybody tell you Mars has been retrograde?
Oh, that's it.
You know, you have to kind of allow for a little extra time there and for Mars to keep, to get moving forward. Now, Mars does he moves out of the shadow. I personify him, but moves out of the shadow on August 22nd. So the truth is, if you hit by August 22nd, you're doing pretty good.
Well, I guess so then. I guess so. Yeah, and of course we all have the retrograde thought system, which of course is our the ego that of course Miracles talks about, and that ties in very nicely to the lessons that you've selected today, which are wonderful. And,
yes. Well, you know what's kind of cool about retrograde, if you think about it, I mean, from the world's perspective and our astrologer perspective, the planet is moving backwards, but it's also moving inward. And if you think about A Course in Miracles, I mean, in some ways, that's what we're always doing is saying, you know what, your perception is wrong. You got it wrong, right? And so maybe retrograde is the way to go.
Yeah. From the perspective of what we really are, the retrograde, the undoing is the process that brings us the peace.
And
it's like Ken Wapnick says, it's a course in not know. And that's how we choose the joy of God instead of pain, by looking at the pain and saying no to the pain of a very flawed thought system.
Yes. That's right. In fact, the very first line of Lesson 190 is pain is a wrong perspective. Mm-hmm. So see those retrogrades for any of us who have been out there bashing retrogrades. That's the way to go.
Yeah.
Anything that goes against what you think is normal is probably right.
Uh-huh. And even in the astrological paradigm, which I imagine you're probably more than familiar with, is, the retrogrades are often an opportunity to rethink, to re-envision, to re-everything. And so, if we look at that as a symbolic representation of when we are truly practicing the quantum forgiveness that Gary Renard and his teachers talk about, and certainly Ken Wapnick and A Course in Miracles is really all about, we're rethinking and choosing a different teacher and different inner teacher that basically suggests that the belief in separation is just crazy. It's just silly. It's not anything to condemn ourselves about, but or anyone else, but to just look at gently and release our white knuckled grip on it and say, hey, that really wasn't working for me. I can choose again. I can see things differently.
Well, and when I think about it, I mean, I have thought about this a little bit before, but never quite maybe as precisely as this morning as we're talking about it, that's it. The retrogrades are always the opportunity to choose again. Mm-hmm. Always the opportunity to go back and say, I saw this wrong. I'm looking at it from the wrong perspective. What did I forget? Yeah. And go back and pick that up. Go back and which teacher am I choosing? I got off on this tangent. I started believing the nightmare.
Right.
So yeah, that's good. I like that. I'm going to hold on to that as an astrologer. Uh-huh. I mean, I do like retrogrades in general, but then again, I was born with four or five planets retrograde. So to me, that is normal.
There you go.
Yeah. So what are you people talking about? That is normal.
And the beauty of it is, since this is a mental curriculum and not a physical one, we can apply the symbolism whenever we like. We don't have to wait until there happen to be planets of matter circling our solar system in a particular orientation or direction in order to apply the principles. We can do it anytime because we can generalize and realize that if we're living in a symbolic world, we can use the symbols to the advantage of everyone, including ourselves, at any time by, you know, choosing against the belief in separate interests and choose for kindness instead.
Yes, and in fact, in this 190, there's a phrase that says, "This is the day when it is given you to realize the lesson that contains all of salvation's power." Mm-hmm. And it is this: pain is illusion, joy, reality. But I love that because this is the day. Because I get into that mindset of building blocks and like, well, there's this long road to getting this. There's this long road to heaven. There's this long road to choosing the right teacher. And this one just says, this is the day. This is the day when it is given to you to realize the truth.
Yeah.
And I need that from time to time because I, you know, I kind of look out there and go, oh my God, when am I ever going to get this?
Yeah.
You know?
And then it ties in beautifully to your show slogan of Why Wait for Heaven, mm-hmm. which is one of the close by lessons in the workbook that, you know, suggests that we really can choose that at any moment, at any point in the alleged, time and when your introduction, when you're talking about the hour that the show airs, and you said for the time being, I was thinking, well, that's what we think we are. We think we're time beings, and we think
yes.
we're space beings, but in fact, the being that we are is beyond space and time. And in terms of our bodily existence, yeah, those are pretty much bound by time and space. But that's not what we are. That's why we can't choose the joy of God instead of pain, because the self that we really are is a being that is outside of space and time. And that awareness that we can tap into at any time, including right now, isn't constrained by that. And it is free of pain, but only because we have the freedom in our mind to look at it, and we can practice that and then transcend the seemingly interminable process that that only from the perspective of the battleground does it seem like this epic journey, but in truth, we're already home. We're already dreaming of exile.
Right. But, you know, another reason I love these two lessons together, especially lesson 195, is because, once again, it's like, tell me what I need to do.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that kind of goes against the spirit of it. It's just choose the right teacher.
Yeah.
But I want to do something. And so when I see this lesson, gratitude is a lesson. This is how I walk in gratitude. Love and gratitude go hand in hand. Mm-hmm. And so it's almost like, even if I'm kind of missing the point, it's saying, you know, maybe this is a point to start at. Can you foster gratitude in your life? Maybe this is something very tangible that you can foster. And like I said, I know that's not quite the idea. I'm kind of missing the point, but it's like, gratitude is the way you walk with love.
Yeah.
Or love is the way I walk in gratitude, you know, mm-hmm. putting those two together. And we always know how important gratitude is. But here again, even in this lesson, you know, he kind of reinterprets gratitude for us, sort of like he does for forgiveness,
mm-hmm.
you know, and to just really see gratitude a little bit differently and see its alignment with love.
Yeah. And again, as we're talking about words like gratitude and love, the way the Course, A Course in Miracles uses them, I think it's important to remember that they're often used in a pure non-dual context, which basically, for example, with the word gratitude, if we think in terms of I'm grateful for a specific circumstance or person or thing or substance or situation or whatever, we're basically kind of barking up the wrong tree again. Not anything that we need to judge ourselves for, but just to kind of watch that and see, oh, wow, I'm making my peace, the joy, if you will, contingent on some specific. And that's basically the source of our pain. Because we've basically said, I'm going to hitch my peace of mind and my well-being and my feeling of freedom and innocence and complete release from fear upon something that seems to be outside myself. And like you were talking about earlier about, you know, watching the news and, you know, we really need thinking, well, I really need to get this now, you know. I think it's, you know, a good reminder that we can use every single situation, whether it's something that comes through the media we consume and digest, or maybe not digest sometimes, and just, you know, just look at the things that seem to come back to us and recognize they're coming from us. And that gives us an incredible amount of freedom, because at that moment, it's like, wow, suddenly I realize that I not only am responsible in a kind of, I think usually we think of that in sort of a heavy way, but it's actually an unburdening way when we realize that we can be and are responsible for letting go of the weight of a thought system that really doesn't serve us. It is basically, unplug this. There, my phone's ringing. so we can look at the things that are happening on that level and realize that you know, there's nothing that we need to be upset about. And you know, like in the case of this phone call, I will get to it later. and we don't have to worry about the specifics that seem to come to us as being an attack on our peace of mind. We can recognize that everything that comes to us is a reminder of the thought system that we want.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, at least you have a nice ringtone.
I do.
I was going to say, it's a good thing my phone wasn't ringing, because I've got the X-Files.
Oh, okay.
Which is kind of funny, but what I do is I code everybody's name with a particular song.
Yeah.
And so if but my default is the X-Files. Oh. So what that means is I have no idea who this is.
Okay.
You know, the truth is out there. Yeah, but I have no idea who it is.
So you could hear the ringtone then, huh?
Yeah, so when I hear that X-Files, I go, okay, this is not somebody I know that's coded into my phone.
Well, in this case, this is, again, another reminder. This is actually another new friend who actually is reminding me that – who also has a show on 1-2 Radio that I want to talk to, and I will, you know, shortly after I finish with this recording. But so we can – you know, a good reminder, we can use every seemingly symbolic situation that comes in as a reminder for one of those two thought systems.
No, but wait a minute, Bruce.
Yeah.
So, you know, you're aligned with somebody else on 1-2 Radio. I'm not special. I'm not the only host in your life.
Oh, no. She's smelled out.
The cat is out of the bag. Oh, my gosh. All right. Well, now I know where I stand. I am no longer special.
Well, none of us ever were, but that's okay.
Oh, yeah. Well, and kind of along those lines too, once again, you know, as the word gratitude is redefined in this lesson, one of the things is it says, you know, it's not gratitude to be thankful that you're better off than somebody else. Yes. And I thought, you know, and how often do we do that?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
All the time. And, you know, it even says love makes no comparisons.
Right.
You know, you're not thankful because, you know, you dodged a bullet. You're not thankful that somebody else is suffering instead of you, you know. And in fact, it says we thank our Father for one thing alone, that we are separate from no living thing and therefore one with Him.
Yes, yes, exactly.
Yeah. And in fact, I love this too. I'm going to read this whole paragraph. It says, therefore, give thanks, but in sincerity, and let your gratitude make room for all who will escape with you, the sick, the weak, the needy and afraid, and those who mourn a seeming loss or feel apparent pain, who suffer cold or hunger, or who walk the way of hatred and the path of death. All of these go with you. Let us not compare ourselves with them, for thus we split them off from our awareness of the unity we share with them, as they must share with us.
Bingo.
I know. Isn't that wonderful?
Yeah, that's really – it's profound, isn't it? Because anytime that we make a we-they paradigm in our mind, whether it's someone that, like you say, it's like, oh, man, I'm glad I'm not in that situation. You know, well, if we're aware of it, in a sense, we are. Because – and if it goes through my mind, and if there's any kind of condemnation instead of compassion, then basically what we're saying is – I still want to feel the pain instead of the joy, and I don't want to feel gratitude, because with real gratitude comes an appreciation of everyone's contribution to that perfect oneness, and not just in part, but in total, which we can't really grok. So I mean, that's where I think, you know, Gary Renard's Fearless Love audio lesson of you know, seeing all of spirit in everyone is a worthy one, and it's also challenging, because we just want to see the little bit that, you know, we think we contribute and everyone else contributes, instead of realizing that everyone contributes everything. And later on in that lesson 185, it says, we have been given everything because we are everything, but not just as pieces of it making up a whole, but it's only because we think of the idea of pieces of things and parts and partiality that we have such a distorted worldview and have everything backwards and inside out, because we think that a part is a valid concept, but in truth, there can't be anything apart from anything else. And that's what modern physics has been trying to tell us in so many ways for decades now. And obviously modern physics, as well as ancient mysticism, you know, through the millennia. And certainly A Course in Miracles is, you know, complements that beautifully by reminding us that there can't be anyone left out of our definition of self, or we're defining ourself with a lowercase s. We're basically splitting it off from our awareness of unity, as it says in the last sentence of that paragraph. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, and here's a couple of other sentences. I'm putting them together, even though they're not together in the lesson. For hatred is forgotten when we lay comparisons aside. Yeah. Today we learn to think of gratitude in place of anger, malice, and revenge. And I like that last sentence, because what I'm thinking is, so often, you know, I have been able to pretty much train myself when I'm not happy about something, like, you know, I always say, okay, I'm never upset for the reason I think, or I could see peace instead of this. And so this too just seems like that kind of thing. I could say to myself, well, you know what? I could learn to think of gratitude in place of anger, malice, and revenge. So when I'm thinking anger, when I'm thinking malice, when I'm thinking revenge, I could literally stop and say, I could learn to think of gratitude. How could I replace gratitude in place of what I'm feeling and thinking right now?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And it's that pure non-dual gratitude that basically includes everyone and everything, and doesn't hinge on any specific situation. And that's very challenging, but it's very freeing when we have those moments of, you know, letting go of our need to be right, letting go of our need to have things go a certain way, and like the song of prayer, you know, the secret of true prayer is to forget the things you think you need, and that paragraph is really loaded. Should I read a little bit more of that?
Yes,
okay.
Please.
I'll just start from the beginning. It says, today we learn to think of gratitude in place of anger, malice, and revenge. We have been given everything. If we refuse to recognize it, we are not entitled, therefore, to our bitterness. And there's a big clue. If we feel the least bit of, you know, of our victim script coming forth, you know, that's a huge clue right there, isn't it? And to a self-perception which regards us in a place of merciless pursuit. Well, I remember having a dream years ago in late adolescence, early 20s, you know, of being chased by this hooded figure with a long saber. And finally, I was beginning to think of, you know, that dream, you know, the nocturnal dream life more lucidly. I realized, wait a minute, this is my dream at one point after many years of this recurring dream.
Oh.
And I turned around, confronted this hooded figure, grabbed the saber out of its hand, snapped it over my knee in two, stomped on it, said, don't ever do that again. And I never had the dream again. So.
How funny.
But that was, you know, but that was kind of like a little aha moment. It's like, wait a minute, this is my dream. I can choose what I want to, you know, to be, you know, populating my dream here. And I think we can remember that we can choose not necessarily the characters, but we can choose the thought system that we interpret them with.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, I'll just start that sentence over again. It says, we're not entitled to, or part of it, we're not entitled, therefore, to our bitterness and to a self-perception which regards us in a place of merciless pursuit, where we are badgered ceaselessly and pushed about without a thought or care for us or for our future. Gratitude becomes the single thought we substitute for these insane perceptions. God has cared for us and calls us son. Can there be more than this? Well, that's again where the feature creep of the ego is yeah, but you know, some animals are more equal than others here, and maybe I could get a little bit more in the dream world to satisfy me, and yada yada yada, and it just goes on.
Right.
And there's nothing wrong with that. It's just like, well, why would we punish ourselves with that idea that there's something in the world that is going to make us happier than that peace? But I think it's because we're so far down the rabbit hole. We're so far, you know, immersed in our dualistic role that we've forgotten that this peace is, as the Course says elsewhere, is not a little gift. It's not you know, having that peace that we can't even imagine, the profundity of that peace. You know, we're so far removed from it in our normal thinking that we've forgotten that that is the single solitary awareness that would solve all problems now. It would, you know, resolve every issue that we've ever had.
Yeah. Well, and I love the first sentence of the next paragraph too, although from an ego standpoint, I will admit. And it's because it says our gratitude will pave the way to him and shorten our learning time by more than you could ever dream of. And that's it, because I'm going, I want to get this, and I want to get this now.
I want patience, and I want patience now, damn it.
Right. And so when I see that, it's like shortening the learning time. Yes, that's what I want.
Oh. And yet, of course, I'm really really does offer that. It's basically suggesting that, well, you know, maybe you think in terms of, you know, days, weeks, and years, but in a cosmic sense, you know, who knows, or ultimately who cares how many lifetimes or whatever, you know, millennia or whatever it takes for us to return to something that is so overwhelmingly wonderful we can't even conceive of it. But it's worth that consistent effort that the Course talks about, that little willingness that becomes an abundant willingness over time by watching the thoughts in our mind, realizing that, you know, selective gratitude or conditional gratitude based on external circumstances, you know, you might be, you know, quote unquote happy, or maybe euphoric is a better word, for a short period of time that things went the way you wanted them to. But then you realize, well, okay, then what if that changes? You know, what if the relationship or the job or the physical health situation or the, you know, the lifestyle or the living quarters or the whatever, you know, changes? Well, then are we contingent? You know, is our happiness contingent? Is our peace of mind dependent on specifics? And that's the tyranny of specifics again, isn't it? Because if we're limited by those things, then we're saying, I'm not a mind, I'm a body.
Mm-hmm.
And that bodily identification is, you know, just the home of the fear that this beloved Course reminds us gently that we can shorten the time. We can take the bullet train or the SR-71 flight back to the awareness we never left by consistently forgiving ourselves for the choice for a fake gratitude and a fake love, you know, the fake gratitude being one that's based on comparisons because love makes none. And the real love that we're talking about obviously couldn't possibly have anything to do with differences because it really doesn't depend on anything being separate. And that's really where the peace lies.
Mm-hmm. Well, and just as you were talking, I kept kind of getting this image of what it feels like. It, you know, it almost feels like being on pins and needles, or it feels like being on a pinnacle. Like imagine a triangle and you're at the very top of it. And yes, this thing has made me happy. I'm happy, but I'm constantly unbalanced because what's going to happen next? Right. You know, happiness even itself is so short-lived when you hang it on a particular person or event.
Right.
I mean, you know how precarious you are. There you are kind of at the top of the mountain, just clinging, you know, just clinging, because it's, you know, I mean, there's a lot of things that are coming to mind, including some I Ching, where, you know, it's sort of, you're right at the pinnacle and now it's, you know, it's, what do you call it? It's not mass consciousness. It's a physics term. that means critical mass. That's it.
Okay.
You've hit critical mass, but it's like then something else is going to happen. It's going to change. And so whether, I mean, on one hand, if we're going through something terrible, it's going to change. But if we're going through something really great, well, guess what? It's going to change. And, right. You know, I almost feel like that's what it feels like. Like you're just sitting on top of this and you're just holding on for dear life because you realize how precarious it is. And yet everything about the course is saying, yeah, because the difference is once you know where the peace is really coming from or where the happiness is really coming from, where the source is, you don't have to hang on anymore because it's not this event. It's not this person. It's not the top of this mountain that is providing that. Yes. And how, you know, whoa, I mean, don't you just want to take a deep breath and go, oh, yeah, you know? That's what it feels like to me.
Yeah. And it's that striving for an experience that, you know, the ego's strategy is, well, I'll get you close to that experience. It's always a seek but do not find. But it's always so short-lived. Like you say, you get to the top of the mountain and then you realize, wait a minute, I'm a feather and the least little gust of wind is going to blow me off here.
Right.
And that's not what this is all about. It's the idea is finding an experience that couldn't possibly change because it's the truth.
Mm-hmm.
And because it's the truth, it's not subject to being threatened by anything. You know, nothing real can be threatened. And the reality of what we are is can't be assailed or destroyed or in any way even slightly tarnished in any way because that is what we are. But we've fallen so far asleep that we think that that's, you know, unattainable. But that's the irony is that it's right there in the midst of us at all times.
That's right. Absolutely.
And the gratitude is the mechanism by which we, one of many mechanisms by which we get back to it. Because, you know, the words are all seemingly different, but the approaches that we use that we could describe by those words are really the same thing. So looking at specialness and seeing that what we want is beyond that is another mechanism that I think can be helpful. And at the same time, being grateful for the specific while not making a big deal about it is can be really helpful, huh?
Yeah. Yeah, not making a big deal that you're working with another host on 1-2 Radio.
Oh, man, am I going to hear the end of that? I don't know.
No, it was just too funny. It was just too funny, that's all.
It is.
Yeah, and of course, I'm thrilled that you're working with another host on 1-2 Radio. We might as well avail ourselves of the best.
Of course.
Well, and here's another sentence in this particular lesson 195. It says, "For gratitude is but an aspect of the love, which is the source of all creation." Mm-hmm. And that too, I mean, once again, I know I'm kind of getting into behavior here versus attitude, you know, or the mental, but just remembering that gratitude is an aspect of love. And so when we're, you know, when we're kind of in those moments and kind of flailing around, it's like, can we go for gratitude? Can we, you know, is that the part of love that somehow we can make real for ourselves in that moment? You know, once again, substituting gratitude, learning gratitude instead of anger and frustration and judgment and all the rest.
I as you're saying that, it kind of occurs to me that in a sense, the whole curriculum is sort of a quantum curriculum because it basically asks us to make a shift from the identification with specific forms and identities and bodies and personas to the abstract where, you know, we're not usually that comfortable with it. And yet, if we really give ourselves an opportunity to just relax into that, we realize that's where the tremendous pieces, but it is kind of a quantum process because it's kind of like explaining, you know, light to a blind person or colors to a blind person. And yet we all remember color. You know,
mm-hmm.
we may have our eyes shut, but we can remember the color. And I think that's why I like the Forgotten Song and some of those passages that are more rhapsodic and poetic in the course are such inspirations Because, and well, so much of the course is, and really all of it seen it right, I guess. In that it basically is this calling, from this deep part of ourselves that knows that we never left the perfection that we seek. And that, awareness is really what's leading us inexorably back to it. So we can afford to relax. We can afford to, be gentle and kind and patient with ourselves and everyone else, because the outcome is assured.
Mm-hmm.
There really isn't anything we can do to mess it up. We can delay it as much as we want, and Lord knows we try at times, doesn't it seem?
Right.
But you know, to get back to that lesson 190 a little bit, you know, it is your thoughts alone that cause you pain. And that's, and it says, if God is real, there is no pain. If pain is real, there is no God. And that's kind of a quantum leap to get to that awareness where we realize, well, okay, if I'm feeling pain, how do I, you know, whether it's physical or psychological, and of course, our beloved curriculum suggests that it's all psychological, even the physical pain. And that's one of the things I had like an aha moment with several times reading Gary Renard's book, where Art and Persa talk about that. It's all psychological. There really isn't anything physical other than the interpretation we give it. And so it's really our thoughts that cause us pain. There's nothing, nothing external to your mind can hurt or injure you in any way. There is no cause beyond yourself that can reach down and bring oppression. No one but yourself affects you. So, well, yeah, in a pure non-dual system, there isn't anyone else, right?
Right.
So how could there be any? There is nothing in the world that has the power to make you ill or sad, weak or frail. Now, there sure seems to be. And again,
yes.
that's where I think the patience comes from, comes in, and the willingness to be wrong. The willingness to say, yeah, well, maybe my ego isn't quite, hasn't been effective in its promises. And to see that if I just try shared interests, if I'm depressed or discouraged, or if I'm fearful, or if I'm angry, if I can just, you know, get my personal interests out of the way, doesn't mean I abandon them, but let them be, in a sense, secondary to the shared interest, and realizing that the shared interests include what I think of as my interest in truth and everyone else's interest in truth, then that frees me up to from a astronaut's perspective or above the battleground view, to see that, wow, if I, you know, look at every specific as an opportunity to see the shared interest and to trust that inner kindness teacher's guidance in each moment, I can consistently choose against the belief in separation, and I do feel more at peace, and that. Is a cumulative thing as well as a moment to moment, like you were talking earlier, experience that becomes more, fills more of our now moments with that peace.
Mm-hmm. And in that same paragraph that you were reading from, right after it says, there's nothing in the world that has the power to make you ill or sad or weak or frail, it says, but it is you who have the power to dominate all things you see by merely recognizing what you are. And, you know, I mean, how often does that analogy come to us, that it is as if we are royalty, we are nobility, we are divine, but we've stumbled and hit our head and we forgot, you know?
Right.
We're like walking around with amnesia, and it doesn't change who we are. It does not change who we are, but it changes how we experience the world, because we've forgotten who we are. We've forgotten, you know, I love that biblical verse that says, my father owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. Hmm. And I mean, I'm paraphrasing there, but that's kind of what it is. And I often kind of go back to that and just, that's it. My father owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. There's nothing.
That's quite a ranch there, partner.
Yeah, right. So it's like my divinity, my inheritance is more than I can even imagine.
Mm-hmm.
That's my inheritance. That's who I am. And yet I certainly don't act like it.
Yeah. No, we all act like paupers, you know.
Yes.
Whenever we fight over, you know, little things that we think we want to, you know, using domination in the negative, you know, sense of the word. I think here this is one of those rare places where the word dominate is used in the context of basically just telling the ego to bugger off. Basically, it is and we're not dominating over anyone or against anything or anyone. We're basically just saying to the fraudulent thought system of the ego, hey, get lost. But not in any kind of forceful way. Just saying, because we're saying you don't exist. You're like that dream figure with the saber that I had in this recurring dream. It's like, wait a minute, I don't have to abide by your fearful rules because I'm choosing what I want to dream about.
Right.
Maybe not consciously, and that was just kind of a nice example that for me was symbolic. But we can consciously choose to tell the self-centered thought system that says me first and the guilt and the fear and, you know, that whole paradigm that includes to just get lost. Just say, just say no. The classic stop it, the Bob Newhart skit, you know, just
stop.
Just stop it. Yeah.
Yeah. And in that next paragraph, it says, my holy brother, think of this a while. The world you see does nothing. It has no effects at all. It merely represents your thoughts, and it will change entirely as you elect to change your mind and choose the joy of God as what you really want.
Exactly. Yeah.
You know, go ahead.
Oh, I'm just the world you see does nothing. Well, if the world we see is really a hologram, or a dream, depending on which metaphor you like, and there's plenty of others. How could this phantom projection, albeit though it seems really real, doesn't it? Like Technicolor and beyond Academy Award winning, special effects and performances, but it doesn't do anything. It really is just a tool for our mind to get back to the classroom of forgiveness that allows us to see that it has no effects at all in terms of truth. And I think that's where, you know, so much of the course is written is in terms of the truth of what we are, it has no effects at all. In terms of the world, well, sure. And if you're within that context of that dream, then yeah, it has a lot of effects. And there's nothing in the course that argues against the common sense of, you know, behaving appropriately and abiding by things like traffic laws and and courtesy and all those kind of things. You know, it's not silly in that regard. It's basically saying that whole system, that whole space-time duality paradigm hasn't touched the perfect oneness. And that's what you're drawn to if you're studying this material. That's what you're inexorably pulled back to remember that peace and that innocence and that beyond phenomenal experience that couldn't possibly change, that represents the self beyond words that we can't even imagine what it is. So. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, and as those people who may like physics or like something, you know, really like logic, I love this sentence when it says the world may seem to cause you pain, and yet the world as causeless has no power to cause. As in effect, it cannot make effects. You know, and I love that too, because we are always giving it power that it does not have.
Right, right.
You know, and I know that's, like I said, that kind of appeals more to the logical brain or to the physics sense of us. And, you know, and yet I often think of physics that I want to attribute, you know, what I would call kind of, the effects of the world to having some personal vendetta when it doesn't at all.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I think I've told you before, sometimes I think if I ever write a book, it's going to be called It's Just Physics, because not that I know physics, but I'm so silly sometimes when I'm really struggling with something like a screw, you know, or a screwdriver. And part of me says, it can't be this hard. It wasn't meant to be this way. And of course, I realize it's because I'm doing it wrong. I've got the wrong screwdriver. I'm turning it the wrong direction. And how long do I struggle before I go, okay, it wasn't meant to be this way? You know, the screw was meant to come out, CA. So if you're really struggling, maybe maybe you're not looking at the obvious. And I think that goes to metaphysics as well, is sometimes it's like, I would rather struggle, you know, instead of just looking at the obvious.
Yeah, yeah. And, and we don't want to look at the pilot error. We think there's something wrong with the mechanism. And,
right.
And that's why I actually put the whole chapter in this second book I did called Take Home Lessons from Modern Physics, because it basically is a reminder that, you know, we can use the feedback from our material world as a tremendously instructive tool to show us the contents of our mind. In fact, one of my favorite Lighthouse articles by Ken Wapnick, you know, talks about, and several others of his works talk about, you know, Freud's contribution of calling, you know, the dreams as the royal road to the unconscious. Because that gives us an opportunity to look at the contents of our mind, where the ontological guilt and unforgiveness lies, that we wouldn't otherwise have access to heal,
right,
if we didn't have those experiences, if we didn't have the people coming on blathering, you know, platitudes and nonsense on TV or on the web or in the newspapers or you know, in our families or friends and colleagues and coworkers and people in, that we see in traffic or in the grocery store, whatever, you know, it doesn't matter. Without that feedback, without all the things that come up that give us an opportunity to look at the contents of our mind, we'd be stuck in a nightmare. But because we have that that perfectly mathematically beautifully precise mechanism of seeing the contents of our mind out pictured moment to moment, we can afford to be grateful. That's another, you know, tying back into the gratitude. We can afford to be grateful that we've taken with us into the cave this dark thread that we you know, tied to the end of the cave before we went in, and it seems to get darker and darker and darker. Well, that's because we chose the wrong teacher, you know, to go further deeper into the cave of duality. But we can turn it around, and it becomes this golden thread, the same thread that brings things back together, that takes the branches and brings them back from each tributary back into the larger current, and this golden thread of shared interests that we then follow, and it gets brighter and brighter as we get closer back to the entrance of the cave. And that's, you know, how we use every single opportunity to be kindness and look at the things that irritate us as a tremendous gift. And each person that seems to deliver something we don't like, if we turn it around, you know, Byron Katie's language, and see that this is not about them, it's about my mind. And I can choose to see things differently by seeing what I am experiencing coming back to me as coming from me, and then I can choose a different teacher and have fun with it. So,
And a couple more lines. I, you know, realize we're going to need to finish this up in a couple of minutes, but a couple more things that I love, because here again, I guess I'm so visual, and it just seems I can see doing this in my head, and it's lay down your arms and come without defense into the quiet place where heaven's peace holds all things still at last. Lay down all thoughts of danger and fear. Let no attack enter with you. Lay down the cruel sword of judgment. And it says the cruel sword of judgment that you hold against your throat. You know, which I think is always interesting. We always think we're doing it to somebody else, but we're holding the sword against our own throat. And so when I hear this, it's like, okay, let's just lay it down. Lay it down. And, you know, above that, actually, it says some peace to such foolishness.
Yes.
The time has come to laugh at such insane ideas.
Yes, yes, it is. That's one of my favorite paragraphs in this lesson, too, because it really reminds us that judgment is cruelty. And whenever we judge against ourselves or anyone else in any kind of condemnatory way, we're basically saying that I'd rather have this angst or this upset instead of the peace that we all share.
Right.
And that's just silly. Right. It's just silly. Yeah.
Oh, well, I think that's a good note to end on, don't you?
Yeah. Thank you again. And we'll talk about some of the other things we thought we'd talk about next time. How's that sound?
Okay, that sounds good. Because I want to hear kind of a synopsis of that weekend that you did in Estes Park. I want to hear all about that. But also, before you leave today, sorry, the lawnmowers have come. So... It's just the way it is. What can I say?
But we're almost lawnmowers.
Yeah, we're almost at the end of the show anyway. But anyway, do you have any announcements that you'd like to make? Yeah.
Yes, a real quick one. And that is there's the third annual Miracle Share virtual conference on A Course in Miracles is happening in October. And the dates and all the details, I think it's like the third week in October, like a Friday, Saturday, Sunday. And I'll be participating in that again as a presenter and a speaker. And it's great fun. There's over 24 wonderful presenters, and you can see all the details. I put a new announcement at acimblog.com, and you just look for the Miracle Share conference there. Are you still there?
Yeah, I am. Anything else? Yeah, I muted my microphone while you were talking, so I didn't have to listen to the lawnmower.
Okay. Well, that's plenty for now. And obviously, always a reminder to support the folks at Foundation for A Course in Miracles and Foundation for Inner Peace, as we've been talking about earlier. And thank you for all the work that you're doing and to all your listeners.
Okay, well, thank you for that, and thanks for coming on today. I mean, it's always so wonderful to just have a conversation with another like-minded soul, and that's what this show is really about, just giving us that opportunity to be together.
Indeed, and you picked a couple of really great workbook lessons.
So. Oh, well, thanks. Yeah. You know, they just happen to be there. They're always there when we need them, aren't they?
Uh-huh.
Okay, well, Bruce, thank you so much, and thanks to the listeners and to everybody in the chat room. And I want to say thanks to our producer, Scott Weaver, also. And because of that lawnmower outside, I don't want to put you guys through any more of that. So I think I'm going to wrap up just a little bit early and say, but please, you know, stick around, because we've got more fun coming up on Fabulous Fridays. I'm followed now by Kathleen Peterson and Friends, which is a wonderful show. And of course, remember, you can always catch me on Tuesdays for my other show, Simple Tales, at the same time as this show, 10 a.m. And also, I guess that's it. Like I said, I think I'll wrap up just so you won't be exposed to all of that noise outside, that distraction. Whatever. What a way to close the show. But anyway, Bruce, thank you.
And thank you, CA.
Yeah, everybody, thanks for being here today. And until next week, relax and wear loose clothes. You have been listening to A Course in Miracles with CA Brooks and my guest, Bruce Rawls, on 1-2 Radio, where we are changing the way you think about lawnmowers.